Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
progress on making an Arduino dancing duck. That seems stupid, and I suppose it is. I'm making a little duck, a little rubber duck, which has a magnet in it, and putting it in a solenoid, and the solenoid is driven by an Arduino. So an Arduino, if you don't know it, is a popularized 8-bit microcontroller that has been shoehorned into the educational market, been made available to hobbyists. It's called the Arduino. You get Arduino Nano, Micro, Uno, Mega, all versions of the same basic sort of architecture, and all limited to 8 bits and with a series of digital ins and outs. And this is a little board. You can buy it, or you can buy some boards for $2, a few dollars each. And on these boards you can program them, and indeed that's what I've done. I've programmed it to power a solenoid to reverse the sense of the solenoid, and bit by bit I've added bits to it. Now the reason that I've got a solenoid is this is the basis of a more serious quantum physics experiment in which I want an alternating field to reverse the field of electrons and cause the electrons to swing. And in a real sense, the electrons are, when you see it rocking, it's really pushing against the universe. It's quite interesting to see. But the side components I've just put together for fun on a duck, and so I have this duck in a large research solenoid. For me, it's a large research solenoid. Why it's a research solenoid is it's large enough to have a very uniform field, a sort of a low field. It's got all the components necessary to conduct research on this particular item, the quantum physics item. But the components that I have had and I've used and abused, and overall it's sort of come back to life as I've sort of identified bits where I've crossed over solders or I've knocked a component about on the board. So I've got the board back to life, and after getting the board back to life, so for these things is you start with the basic Arduino and you have these things called shields which simply plug it over the top of them. And in order to drive current in a coil, there's a motor driver, which is sort of designed for all of this. And I've plugged this on top of the Arduino, programmed it, and it drives current back and forth. Now, onto this, I've added a few other small things. Request that there's a lit dance floor, so I've got an electret piece of foil, a luminous foil. You charge it, it runs off at 12 volts, or in this case the 9 volts of the supply. So I have a 12 volt supply, I had a 9 volt supply, so this is all sort of surplus stuff. And onto it, I've put this electro plates. It's sort of an A5, so half A4, A5 luminous plate. Now, this plate operates by getting a high voltage DC signal, so a low voltage DC signal, and there's a little potted box, and in that is a transformer and a high voltage step up transformer and an oscillator. You can actually hear the oscillator. I don't know whether it's probably around 100 hertz or a bit of high end thing there. And so that this sits parallel, so when you plug it in, the dance floor of the duck illuminates and there's the duck inside there. And then I have a capacitive switch. Again, you just have a piece of foil, a wire, and a resistor, and you hook it across. There's an Arduino library called Capacitance Switch Library, and you quite easily call that up as a subroutine. I can't remember. I suppose I have. You install that library. So what happens in the Arduino compile stuff? There's a huge number of libraries out there. You can't have absolutely every one. They're all going. So you manage libraries by importing it from a zip file. So on the internet, you download a zip file, and you don't have to unzip it. The Arduino language can actually pick up the zip file and store it. And so then when you call subroutines from that library, it goes. So we have a button, and when you press it, the duck begins to dance. Now, on top of that, what I've done is I've added a $2 passive Bizio buzzer and code to play a Doctor Who sound. So for each note, so when you press this, it starts to play the sound. So for each note, what does it do? Each note, it reverses the field. And so when you press it, this little buzzer goes, and it plays the start of the Doctor Who theme. I can't really recognise it there, because I've really sped it up. I've sped it up by a factor of 5, because it's too slow for a dancing duck. Now what happens is that every note, the duck jumps up, and it looks as though the duck is actually dancing in coordination to the film. And this direction is being pretty uncritical, listening to a kid and what they say. Or they want the duck to have a dance floor, they want the duck to have music. They've even asked for the duck to create scents, that is, so that you can smell different smells for the duck. And of course I'll will eventually get to going this sort of steering as I'm producing things to go. Now I'm just going to stop here before I go to gym for a few hours. I've got to pick up some medicine and do various things. So I'll be back with you in a short while, and that's a quick story of the Arduino duck. So continuing on, I'm aware that when you're listening to a podcast, this is straight afterwards, but I've just been off to the shopping centre to buy some medicine, and I'm off to the gym to do some exercises, and I've just described building out of scraps of an Arduino and bits and pieces a dancing duck thing. I suppose the thing... this is a square display box with a duck inside it, and so there's what do you call multiple levels to this. This is the informal level, where there's obviously a toy. The toy does something, but there's sort of mezzanine levels up, so it's not just a strict high level thing. So it's good, and it was very interesting because it was very revealing what people say about it. People with a little... I'm just sort of trying to think. Education goes that you develop informal knowledge, and this is where you have explanations for things based on certain set of ideas. So a small kid would actually believe there was something inside the duck. As you go along, you understand to do with magnets and coils, and you sort of understand a little bit like that. And some of the explanations can be considered wrong. I'm just checking what's happening. Oh, fuck off. So I just have to... making sure I don't crash into anybody doing this. So I was just all waiting for these cars to make up their mind what they're doing at this intersection. Okay. Going forward again. So It's the idea of formal science and informal. Now, where things, I think, go astray is where people have completely the wrong scientific idea. And you don't pick this up because people in the business of teaching believe their belief set is correct, and they go through tests. So it's rather interesting to show it to people and say, believe that in a uniform magnetic field, a north versus north would push the magnet up. And this shows sort of a lack of understanding of what's going on. So it is interesting in that there's these parameters. One is the number of levels something can cope with, so this is where the child can go to. So if it's a small box that you could imagine a child picking up and putting in a playroom, that's got a bigger, potential audience, or a bigger spectrum of interest that it can access. And just, come on. Okay, so I'm just looking for the turnaround here. What happens here, my friend, is that there's cars turning left, and you can't see the car behind it, and the car behind it may not be turning left, and so you have to do something about it. Yeah, so this is something that I haven't really planned, but it becomes really obvious doing it, that an object like this can actually tease out sort of degrees of scientific understanding and accessibility. And so if it's got nothing that the person can recognize, here we go around here, you've got very low accessibility. So it's sort of this really interesting aspect that accessibility has to be points at which you can interact with it. So if it's small, if it's big and away in a laboratory, you can't access it. But if it's small and out, you can plug in. So it's, you know, people know it's got a box, and I plug it in and see it instantly, and it's clear and see-through. So I really think this has come until I get the next one, is the amphibious duck and the smell duck. I think this has come to the end of it. So that's the end of this podcast, and it's just basically describing the building of a dancing duck, a musical duck. I may as well film it and put it on YouTube.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.